Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
What's up, ladies? How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. So you may hear throughout this episode, and I apologize in advance, someone outside of my apartment is blasting Garth Brooks.
You know, to each their own, man. That's not how I like to roll, but, you know, good on them.
It would never be how I would roll.
Enjoying the evening.
Garth is classic, okay? Classic country. Just let him go. Just let him be free.
Okay, but he's, like, singing on top of Garth Brooks. I feel like you guys can hear it. Can you hear it?
Oh, I just hear... Oh, someone's singing on top? Is it, like, karaoke?
Maybe it's, like, people
in
the building.
Oh, now it's, like, either Billy Joel or Elton John or something.
Oh, see, then that's not bad.
I don't know. It's crazy. Crazy times living in, people. Let's be honest.
There's no sense. Somebody's trying to provide entertainment outside of their balcony.
Yeah, well, we're trying to provide entertainment inside these walls, okay? So.
Entertainment for who?
Entertainment for the people.
For justice?
All right. So we have an exciting episode. Of course, we're still not going to the movies, so we are continuing to discuss. This week, we're discussing some of our favorite feel-good movies, and I'm actually really excited for this episode because we have quite the slate this episode, and I have some strong opinions about all these films, so I'm pretty excited to dive in.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
So again, the intention is just to give some love to films that we've enjoyed in the past that you might have missed. And these are all going to be things that you can actually stream from the comfort of your living room. So this week we are discussing a movie. My pick this week is actually called Home Again. And it is a 2017 romantic comedy. It was written and directed by Hayley Myers Shire in her directorial debut. It stars Reese Witherspoon, Nat Wolff, John Rudnitsky. Did I say that right? Pico Alexander, Michael Sheen, and Candice Bergen. And it follows a 40-year-old single mother who allows three young aspiring filmmakers to live with her in her Los Angeles home. It was released in September of 2017 and grossed $37 million worldwide, which, according to Natalie, means that it was a hit and not likely a movie that anyone missed. So we can talk about that later. Natalie, what was your pick this week?
My pick was Tag. It was from 2018. I just had the little thing up, and I'm just kidding. It was written by Rob McKittrick and Mark Stylin. The film was based on a true story that was published in the Wall Street Journal about a group of men played by Ed Helms, Jake Johnson, Hannibal Buress, John Hamm, and Jeremy Renner, who spend 1 month a year playing the game of Tag. So it was released on June 15th, 2018 by Warner Brothers. Mixed reviews by critics, whatever, lame, and it's grossed over $78 million worldwide. So it is a movie, like, I feel like box office-wise did pretty well, and I think it's lived on in home video strongly, but yet every time I talk to people about this movie, they haven't really seen it, or they know of it, and they hadn't seen it, and so I kind of encourage people all the time to see this movie. So I'm excited to talk about it, because... I can't watch it enough.
Well, we're definitely going to have a fun discussion then. Lena, what was your pick this week?
Lena scores 3. Just kidding. my pick this week is The Other Woman. It's a 2014 comedy directed by Nick Cassavetes, written by Melissa Stack. It stars Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and Kate Upton. Also, Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. Did I say that right?
I don't know, but that was amazing. I hope so, because that was amazing.
Okay, good. Nicki Minaj and Taylor Kinney. The film follows three women who are all romantically involved with the same man. And after finding out about each other, the three will take revenge on him.
On him.
I don't have how the much end. It cost worldwide. Sorry.
That's fine. So I think before we talk about our lives this week, I think that we have a very, very important martini this week. And I don't even know where to begin with this martini other than to say that Natalie has been, we've been joking for weeks that Natalie was going to Uber me the martini that she makes. And so this morning I get a text basically asking me if I'm going to be home because she's sending an Uber with the martini. And I'm basically like, no, you don't have to do that. Like, what kind of asshole am I going to look like when this guy pulls up to my house and he's like, sir, I've got your martini. And I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like, oh my God. But alas, Natalie, I'd love to hear your version of events because needless to say, I am now drinking this amazing martini this week.
Well, I did want to start by saying last week or maybe the week before you were talking about how you were a little down because you didn't have any like social interactions or any human contact. And I was like, you know, at least like I do live with a roommate and, you know, that's super helpful. And so I felt bad. And so I thought, you know what, I'd take this opportunity and I would turn myself into an Uber and surprise you and bike my little bicycle up to Hollywood and scream from outside of your apartment for you to come out to your balcony and give you
fidelity.
Yeah. And give you a human interaction and a martini. I was trying to be friendship romantic and you ruined it.
And that you were. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but I am so sincerely appreciative. But I did get the vodka and the martini mix and I'm super stoked because I'm enjoying this delicious drink right now. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So did you guys get to see each other like within 6 feet? Like how did you get did she bring
it to you? Yeah, because I came down to the gate.
Maybe you like put a bucket on a string and like wheeled it down your balcony.
No, I was a responsible social distancer and I had my mask on and I went down, I opened the gate and we chatted for
it would have been a better story if you had the bucket.
Yeah, I would have loved that. I would not have minded that at all.
Well, for your enjoyment, I did film Natalie riding up on her bike up to the sidewalk. So that will be on our social media this week, along with this episode. So Natalie, what is this martini that we're drinking? This delicious red martini, pink red.
So this is, I was trying to come up with a color that matched all of the posters and Reese's dress she wore, or top and skirt that she wore out on that date. And like a, you know, hot pink red sort of color. I felt excited about it. And then it just didn't turn out that color. It turned out a very light pink, which also the sheets in our house were kind of this color. So maybe that could have worked for Home Again, because I love that movie and I love all the visual aesthetics of this movie. And I've named it for Lena's pick, the other woman. I've named this the other martini.
That's cute.
So this has got a strawberry juice base, triple sec and vodka. So it's basically, you know, a kind of variation of a cosmopolitan with a different fruit juice. So I kind of felt like that was, you know, this is like the other sexy martini, you know.
It is. It's a very sexy martini, actually. And it's quite delicious, I must say. What's in it? Some strawberry something.
I made a strawberry juice and then triple sec and vodka. It's pretty simple.
Well, we can definitively cheers this week because we're all drinking the same
cheers.
Thing.
Cheers. I'm so excited.
It's delicious.
I'm going to clank on the microphone. Clank.
There clank. We go. All right. So how are you guys doing? What's going on? What's new? What's happening in your lives? What's the 411?
Well, the documentary series Tiger King got to me a little bit. And I went and I adopted a baby jaguar. Little panther cat, and he's really cute and he's out and about right now, so if you hear little mew mews, that's his little voice.
I want to see him
in a manlier voice. Bruce, manlier voice. You're Batman. Okay,
I want to see him. Are you gonna send us pictures?
I sent you a picture.
Oh, did you? I actually am a good person right now and I don't have my phone anywhere near me, so
Gonna have to
look at that. I don't look at my phone when we record. I know that that's not something that you guys practice, but I try to be polite.
I do not look at my phone.
It's fine. Natalie, how was your week? Did you make any major purchases?
I'm showing you Bruce Wayne. Look at him.
Oh, he's black.
Yeah, he's
all black.
Oh, I thought he was...
He literally looks like a panther.
A black
like,
panther.
In his face, I wish I could get like a better up-close face, like picture of his face. He is like, he looks like a panther. It's kind of strange.
He's really cute. Yeah. How old is he? Do we know?
He is 1 year and 1 month.
Aw, that's awesome. And you've adopted to like keep him, right? You're not just fostering?
Oh, yeah. He's ours for sure.
He's a member of the family?
He's a member of the family.
Love it.
He's very, very sweet. He's a little skittish still, but yesterday he pretty much spent half the day, well, because I only got him at like one, but he spent all day under the bed, and then at night he came prowling out, and then most of the day today he stayed under the bed again, but then all of a sudden he just like came out and has been out terrorizing us for the past couple hours.
That's amazing.
But I will say, like, the one positive kind of silver lining of this entire thing is hearing about all of the animal fostering and shelters that are out of animals because everybody's adopting or fostering and because they're home, which is great. So it's, you know, I think that's really exciting. And I think Lena had been thinking about adopting another cat, and it's like, okay, well, you're home. So now's the perfect time to kind of acclimate a new animal to your house, and you're there watching, and you know what else you got to do.
No, totally.
Yeah, I went with the Stray Cat Alliance. Sorry, that's my other cat making some noise right now. I went with the Stray Cat Alliance, and a lot of their kitties, I don't know how many, but they have that are for viewing at the Cat Cafe Lounge. So it's like a cute little lounge. You can get coffee and like whatever. And then they let you in, and then you get to like literally hang out with the cats and just like pet them and play with them. And it's really cute. Obviously now there's only one employee and you have to schedule an appointment to go there. But I just looked at the cats online, and then I was like, oh, these are the ones that are at the lounge. And then I picked a couple and went there and met them. And this little one picked me.
Aw, I love that.
He's staring at me right now. My panther.
Well, I can't wait to meet him when we finally are allowed to be together in person.
He's very sweet. He's very sweet, and he's very silky, smooth, and soft.
Nice. Natalie, what have you been up to?
I've had a rougher week. I think the weather was a little crappy.
Oh, yes.
And then Wednesday, I think, was the day that was like very, very nice. And so I was just so excited about how sunny it was that I worked from our backyard area of our apartment building and applied one layer of sunscreen before I went outside. Never reapplied again. And I have been dealing with the consequences of probably one of the most severe sunburns of my life.
Are you serious?
Yes, on my back. And I'm wildly uncomfortable.
Oh,
and
no.
So that has made, you know, doing any further walking, exercising, anything like that, because it's like any sort of like bra containment hurts my back.
What
sleeping
she seems
hurts my
to
back.
Forget is this is an annual activity. As soon as the sun comes out in April, Natalie is out and about, no sunscreen. I'm glad she put some on this time, but she didn't reapply after 4.5 hours of being this.
I just like my excitement level removes any memory of past burns and pain, and I just don't ever think about it. And I also have this underlying issue of feeling like I'm Italian. I shouldn't have to put any sunscreen on. I should be olive and dark, and my dad doesn't have to, and my brother doesn't have
you
to.
You are the pastiest Italian I have ever met in my life.
That is the meanest thing anybody could ever say to me.
Listen, from one pasty white bitch to another,
I wouldn't say we're the same paste level.
No, color. I'm much more red than you, I think. I have like more red skin tone. I think you have probably more... Slightly more olive complexion than I do.
Thank you. I will take that. Slightly more olive.
Slightly
End
more
of
olive.
Discussion.
There you go. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but the good news is that you got a lot of vitamin D, which is really good for your body right now and your immune system.
It
it was. But then it's like I felt like I couldn't really go outside anymore, and I was just in a lot of physical skin pain.
Oh, Lord. Okay, well.
She also played Hair Salon in that sunburning time and dyed my hair blue.
Yeah.
Oh, your hair was dyed blue? Is your hair blue right now?
Yeah, I'll take it down. Show you real quick. I don't know if you can see it. I washed it today. It's pretty blue.
Oh, it is. That's pretty. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's like you look like Ariel.
Ooh. Oh, thank you. She's my favorite princess.
I actually think Ariel has red hair, but who's counting? I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine. I actually took like a buzzer to my head and just was said, fuck it. I'm probably as short as my hair's ever been because I could not take not getting a haircut. It's driving me crazy.
So. Yeah, I feel like the last like week to 2 weeks have been severe hair weeks for a lot of people. I think out of boredom, people are cutting or dyeing their hair. I think out of a sheer need of getting a haircut or something, people are like trimming their own hair. So
yep. I actually just read an article about that. It was talking about how like a lot of people, even women, are starting to like shave their heads to some extent.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's desperate times call for desperate measures. What can I say?
I feel like a lot of people are shaving their head. I'm not shaving my head. There's no version of this.
Girls are doing it. I think
they said some women.
Some girls.
Yeah, they said some women are. I'll send you the article. It was actually really interesting because I was like, oh, I mean, it makes sense because God only knows when you're going to have to come out of this. So I'm like, that's why I did it myself. I was like, it's probably uneven and gross and weird, but I'm like, as long as I'm comfortable, I don't give a fuck because I'm not going to see anybody for God knows when. So except then Natalie comes over the next day, but whatever.
I didn't even notice your hair. If
yeah,
it makes
that's
you
good.
Feel any better.
It does because you're probably just distracted by the mask, I'm sure.
Yeah. How is your friend that was in the hospital, Sean?
My friend is doing much better. I talk to him every day. So I don't know if we actually talked about this in the show, but I had a friend who had the illness and was actually on a ventilator in the ICU for like 3 weeks. He is back home now. And apparently it's kind of a struggle every single day. It's been, you know, really challenging for him, but he is getting better. And I don't want to share too much, you know, beyond that. But yeah, he's and just so people like have the context, like perfectly healthy 29-year-old, like no logic to why this happened. So if you think that you're immune to this, the odds are that you might not be. So please, please, please respect, you know, everything that we're trying to enforce as a society right now, because this is real stuff that people are dealing with, and it's some scary shit.
Yeah, but I think that's such a good reminder as people are protesting in Huntington Beach and other cities to reopen, and it's, you know, I don't know why people just kind of have in their mind that it's, you know, people in, you know, hospice and old people that are on their way out anyways, and it's impeding on their freedom. When it's not, it's affecting a lot of people, all ages. And so I think that that's important for people to know.
Well, and it's the majority of the people that are affected by this happen to be older. But I still am of the opinion that like there really just isn't enough data out there yet over the span of things for people to truly know like who was affected by this. And
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. When I see that, because I did see that's becoming a little more prominent over the last several days, and these people that are out there protesting, and half of them are wearing masks, and so I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I noticed that, and I was like, what? So it's you're concerned enough to come out to this gathering of people and not cover your face.
Yeah, exactly.
So to me, that shows that you have a somewhat of an understanding that this is something that you're trying to avoid getting or passing on to others if you're going to wear this mask. If you're fighting for this freedom that you're saying that you need right now, then you should feel like you should go out there barefaced.
Yeah, seriously.
Totally, totally. By the way, super weird coincidence. A notification just popped up on my computer. That friend just texted me. And now every time I see his name come up on like my, you know, notification, it just brings me like such joy because I was genuinely like sad and scared for this person. And so knowing that, you know, they're okay and they're, you know, on their way to recovery just makes me so happy. So,
Yeah, good. That's good. Such good news.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something a couple days ago that it shook me to my core. And oh, I needed to talk about this with you ladies. So we all saw Booksmart. And
yes, and loved it.
We all loved Booksmart. And I was watching it again. And it reminded me of the crush that I had on Mason Gooding, who was like, he played kind of like the jock in the movie or whatever. And I dove in and started to do a little bit of research. And I learned that he actually is going to be one of the stars of the... So you guys know that one of my favorite movies is called Love, Simon. And they are doing, it was going to Disney Plus, but I guess now it's going to Hulu. It's coming out in June. And it's basically a spinoff of the movie, but it's a TV version. And what's really cool is that, so this Mason Gooding guy is starring in it, which is awesome. He's not the lead, but he's one of them. Not the main character, but he's one of the leads. And it's going to be narrated by Nick Robinson, who actually starred in the movie. So I thought that was kind of cool that he still has like a through line in it. And I'm really curious to see how they execute it, but in my Mason Gooding research, I learned who his father is.
Oh.
And this is what caused me to, this is what caused me to be shooketh.
Is it Cuba Gooding Jr.?
It is Cuba Gooding Jr. I was, yes, I was so.
Why did you put that together?
Right? Well, because there's no junior at the end, right? So it's one of those things where it's like the name Gooding doesn't necessarily like...
Well, if it, he does have a brother, but obviously it's not the brother.
No, totally. So anyway, I thought that was such a like a random piece of trivia, and it was applicable to film. Had to share it.
Wow.
And then I also just had this moment where I couldn't sleep last night. So 3 a.m, decided that just wasn't going back to sleep apparently. So I'm going through movies on Hulu, and I see that there's this movie that was in my queue, and it happens to star someone Natalie knows that was in Fear, Inc., Lucas Neff. Mm-hmm. And it's called I Love You Both. Have you happened to see this, Natalie?
No, I haven't seen it, but I know what movie it is.
Yeah. Well, it has a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what that's... You know, it's funny. I was, like... 3/4 asleep and trying to go back to sleep, but I actually made it through the whole movie without falling asleep. I didn't think it was a bad film. It was just, it's basically the premise is like this guy and this girl, twin brother and sister, and they both kind of like meet Lucas Neff's character at a party and fall for him, and he kind of leads both of them on. And so you don't know like if he's like gay, straight, bisexual, whatever through like most of the film. And so that is a pretty cool premise, I thought. Like, the setup seemed really cool, and I was, like, totally along for the ride. I don't think that the execution necessarily, like, worked, because I think, like, the story itself was really interesting, but I think the execution is probably what made people angry about it, so.
Hey.
Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. Check it out. I guarantee it's a movie you might have missed.
Oh, yeah. Especially with that 0% Rotten Tomatoes score. Yikes.
Yeah. All right. We ready to get started?
Yeah. We, as I was trying to pick movies and change movies this week, Lena was getting frustrated with me that my definition of movies that make me feel good are very different than movies that I think people in general feel
same
good
with
from.
Your rom-com, version is different than
so I actually have a note about that. And on that note, let's get started with Tag this week.
Oh god, I'm gonna be
you're
so...
it
you're it
I'm gonna be so upset if you did not love this movie. Like, I like one last time I'm ever going to deliver you a martini.
I actually thought about that. So literally the second you said you were on your way with the martini, I was like, fuck, of all weeks.
I'm going to start it off positive because I love this movie. Like, I think it is so much fun. I don't know if I enjoy the actual movie itself more, or if I enjoy the fact that this is based off of a true story And at the end of the movie, they show clips of the real guys and the videos that they took during these, like, you know, fucking crazy hijinks that they were doing to each other to try and tag each other. To me, it's like such like a heartwarming story of like, you know, this childhood game that these guys have like continued on through their like older years. Like they're in their 40s or 50s. Like these guys are old. So it's like they did do us a little bit of a favor really casting up the hotness and in Tag the movie. But to me, it's like Jeremy Renner was so fucking funny. I kind of only want to see him in comedies now. John Hamm, I just love and think he's so fun and perfect. I just, you know, Ed Helms, I always enjoy. I just, it was such a fun concept to me. And I went in with such low expectations and enjoyed the movie on the first watch. And I can't even count how many times I've seen the movie. And to me, the jokes are funnier each time. How wild they are about it each time is just so much fun. I just love this movie. I love it.
Lena. Sean, I'll let you go okay. So I can wrap it around at the end.
Okay.
Put a little, maybe a little sprinkle on it.
What kind of, with a little bit of
positive. John, you're it. You're going to put some lipstick on this pig, huh? All right.
Yeah.
So
shimmer.
Here's what I will say. I have vowed not to be too harsh because the whole purpose of this episode was that I felt over the last couple of weeks we've had made some kind of darker choices with some of our films. And so I wanted this week to really be like, these are movies that make us happy. These are movies that make us feel good. And so I wanted to honor the fact that, like, even though this is not a movie that I would ever think would live in that genre, it makes Natalie happy. And so I want to respect the sacredness.
It's comedy.
I am dying.
It's literally in the genre of comedy.
So like, okay, here's the thing though. Maybe we should be more clear when we give these directives each week, because so like based on your logic, I probably would have picked Good Boys. Like, even though I've talked about that on the show, we've never really like gone in and done a deep dive on it. But like, that is a comedy that like makes me feel happy when I watch it because I crack the fuck up every time.
Absolutely.
But I don't consider that a feel good movie. Like, it's not a like a. I don't know. The way I look at a feel good movie, it's kind of like a movie that like, just there's always like a nice pretty bow on top.
You.
It hugs you. Yes, it's like a hug from a film. I don't know. Anyway.
Movie hugs me.
You know what? If this movie does that to you, then I want to honor that. And I wanted to honor it so much that I tried to log into your Cinemax account that you gave me the credentials to, and it was not playing anymore.
Oh.
So I had to pay money out of my own pocket to rent this film.
Oh my gosh.
So I want you to know the lengths that I went to make sure that I was able to articulate my strong feelings about this film. So
I appreciate that.
What I wanted to say, though, first and foremost, is that I remember seeing this trailer in theaters probably 100 times. Like, before this movie came out, I remember that they marketed the shit out of it. And every time this trailer came on, I would cringe because it looked so fucking stupid. So
that's how many times we've watched it this week? 100 times.
But so here's the thing. What I will say is that, and I have extensive notes, I'm going to try to go through them quickly and be as brief as possible, but I actually did not know this was based on a true story. And so I have this kind of like love-hate with like the stuff they show at the end with like the real people.
Hmm.
And I was like, I don't necessarily need to see it. But then it was also like, it kind of like put a nice bow on it. And it was probably like one of the funniest parts of the movie for me. So I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I thought that it was one of the funnier parts of the movie. I don't like any of the actors in this film. And one of the notes that I have is that I think that a movie like this really does come down to whether or not you like the cast, and that determines for you whether or not it works. And so
yeah, absolutely.
For me, not liking anyone in this film, and when I say don't like anybody, I don't like anyone in this film. I don't like Isla Fisher. I don't like, what's the woman from The Office? Rashida Jones. I don't like Hannibal Buress. I don't like anyone in this movie. And so I was trying really hard to like overcome those obstacles, right? So I had seen the trailer, did not turn me on in any way. The cast didn't love it. So I was forcing myself to kind of watch it for what it was. And I have an appreciation for it. Like I have some positive comments. One of them is that I thought the production value was actually really good. Yeah, that was actually my.
That's it. reading.
I was scanning my notes. And I was like, I did enjoy the production value.
Hello, is anyone still there?
Another thing that I will say, and I think maybe Good Boys might actually contradict this notion, but. Because I think it's kind of the exception for me, but bro comedies are not my thing. I am so far away from being a bro. And so there's just something about that shtick that just doesn't appeal to me.
I am way more of a bro than you are.
Oh, you absolutely are. You absolutely are. And so that made me understand why you like this movie. And I did appreciate it. It's been a while since I had vodka. But no, I did appreciate the movie for what it was. I don't know how else to articulate it because I didn't love it. It's definitely not a movie for me, but I could, and don't take this the wrong way because I mean this so lovingly, but I could see why you like it.
I completely understand.
I love you. Thanks for the martini.
You're welcome. I just, to defend it a little bit, yes, I knew that it was based off of a true story going into it. So I kind of already had those warm, fuzzy feelings knowing that this entire movie was to pay tribute to this group of friends that have been doing this thing for years. So it's to me, I do get really kind of, what's the right word? I can't think of it. I get attached to the idea of these group of people are being celebrated in this way. And so I think that that's how excited they are to go see this movie and fucking Jeremy Renner is playing who you think you are in the movie. To me, that makes me really, really excited. I love that idea. So I get really jazzed about it. And then to me, how they played up the action in this movie and the slow-mo and how they were all had their voiceovers during it and how comedic those moments were when they're playing tag was just so interesting and fun. They did such a good job making this feel like the stakes were so much higher than just a game of tag. So
I have a note about that.
Ride. Yes, go ahead.
One of my notes is you two are trying to torture me with slow motion sequences in films lately, aren't you?
I mean, it doesn't. I hate slow-mo, but it does not bother me in this at all. It is so fun.
It is bothersome. I think really? That's the one. It's literally the one thing about this movie that makes it so cheesy. That's not even in the realm of what this movie is. And I do really enjoy this movie. You know, I like this movie, but the slow-mo is probably one of the worst things. That and Rashida Jones.
Ugh, but thank you.
I just can't stand her. I don't like her acting. I don't like her face. I just but in the slow-mo is a thing, you know. But the rest of the movie I really enjoy. I don't know that there's a higher stake than just playing tag though. So yeah. I don't that to me I don't get from it. I think it's just a really fun really action. It's not really action, it's just fast pace, I think, because it's just we're going from here to there and chasing and that part of it's really fun. I like all the actors in this, so I'm not on par with you, Sean, on that one. But I think it's really fun. I like the way that they put it together. I love the collage at the end when it shows the real people. I'm that really makes it a lot more fun for me because I'm it makes me think oh my gosh, these guys really did do stuff like this, not to the ridiculous storytelling that the movie is telling us, but just how fun that is with your friends, that makes me giggle at the end where I'm oh, that's fun. Look at these cute old men playing tag. It's adorable.
Yeah. I will give you some ammunition for a moment because this is going to be San Andreas level ammunition, Natalie, just so you know.
I am offended.
Well, no. I mean this in the best way. I'm giving you ammunition to use against me later.
Okay.
So I think, like, right now, especially, like, you mentioned, like, oh, you've watched this movie, like, several times this week, whatever. There is a movie that it's relatively recent. I bought it on iTunes, like, kind of on a whim because I didn't love it in the theaters, but I was like, I feel like I kind of want to see that again. And I've kind of just, like, had it in the background a lot lately, and I think there's just something about it that brings me comfort right now. And so, like, I get that if, like, this is that movie for you, then I think that that's, like, again, I totally honor that. I think that's awesome. But it's Like a Boss. Did you guys even see that movie?
No, I did not. No. Okay.
I think it's in my Vudu account if you guys want to watch it. But it's, like, Tiffany Haddish and
Rose Byrne,
who I love. And then it also has Selma Hayek, and it has Jennifer Coolidge, who is, like, from Legally Blonde. She's fucking, like, best in show. She's fucking hilarious.
She's hysterical.
And she's just as hysterical in this as she's ever been. And I don't know, there's just something about that movie, like, it's kind of stupid and cheesy, but just, like, I don't know, watching it and, like, having that on in the background, as Lena likes to say, has just been, like, strangely, like, comforting in a way. So I think that it's awesome that you love this movie, and because of that, I'm going to score this movie. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah.
I'm going to score it first, even though it's not my turn. I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah, I figured you were at a 3.
Like I said, it's not the worst movie that I've ever seen. It's not my typical taste. And so I worked really hard to be objective enough while I was watching this to think, okay, even though this doesn't mean, like, any of the check any of the boxes that I would normally want in a film, literally, other than it's a comedy, I'm still going to, you know, respect the fact that it's, I don't know, it's a movie that obviously a lot of people liked. It was a huge hit. And I know that it's not, like, my fault that I didn't, or it's not anybody else's fault that I didn't like the cast, because I think this is kind of, like, I guess it could be considered an all-star cast. It's not
just like the perfect storm of people you don't.
Yeah. Enjoy. It's not any of the stars that I would ever cast in a film, but anyway,
I'm surprised I'm really surprised that Jeremy Renner didn't win you over, though. I that's one of the things that I would say, you know, if you're not a fan and then you see him in something like this, you're just kind of like, wow, that guy's kind of funny. You didn't feel that way at all?
No, he feels kind of like I hate to say this, but he, especially in this, he kind of just reminded me of, like, a poor man's Tom Cruise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sorry.
Why?
I don't know.
I'll take the poor man. I think he's hysterical. Like, I don't know. I really... I mean, but I like Jeremy Renner. I mean, I'm growing to like Jeremy Renner. I didn't really care for him before, but then I forget what movies he was in, and I was like, oh, I actually really enjoy him.
Of everyone in this film, he was, like, the most tolerable, I would say. I cannot stand who's the other guy from The Office? Ed
Helms. Oh, I love him. I have
can't stand him.
Major crush on him. I, like, love him.
Wow. His presence on screen, like, almost makes me want to turn things off when he appears.
I don't know why I just assumed, because you enjoy The Office and we talk about it a lot, that you would like Ed Helms. Like, it's not a person that I feel like I'm ever hearing that people don't like.
I think that he actually ruined The Office. I know he came on, what, season 3 or 4? Wow. He was, like, the one element to that show that I could do without. Like, I just, I don't know. He's, like, he's one note. He's, like, a doofus. I've never seen him play anything other than that. I don't find him funny. Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Wow. Okay. Lena, what was your score?
I give this movie a 2. I really do enjoy this movie. I really like it. It's not my favorite movie, but when it's on, I do watch it.
Okay, I'll accept it. This is a 1 for me. This makes me feel great every time I watch it. And I just, the jokes are funnier each time. I just, like, the hazelnut coffee bit just gets me. Oh, I just love
throwing
all of
the
it.
Donuts with pristine
precision.
Precision, yeah, I can't even say it. That word, I'm drunk.
And so I just, to me, I, it's just, it's so much fun. It's just, and to me, it's like a heartwarming story of these guys, and I love it. I think it's great. Okay, so Tag, I thought that you can get it on Cinemax. That's what it's been on television, and I've been watching it constantly. So, Sean, I apologize that you haven't been able to see it. I think if you can't get it there, you can rent it on iTunes and Amazon and wherever else.
Yes, that's true. That's what I did. I can vouch for that.
I guess it's true. I guess because Cinemax doesn't actually have an app, huh?
So they have Max Go.
Last week I watched, I forget what movie it was, but I had to log in to the website and then AirPlay it to my TV. But they don't have an app for Apple TV.
Yeah, they don't have an app for Apple TV. So you can AirPlay it if you've got it on your phone. Or I think they partner with like Amazon and Hulu. And sometimes it's available if you kind of like cross connect your apps to like your TV provider and do it that way. So
gotcha.
It seems kind of overly complicated for something that is constantly on television. And yeah, I can say that weird. Because I tune in every time. And I probably have paid all of their residuals by my cable bill personally.
Well, at least someone did. All right, Lena, you're up.
All right. What's next is we're going to talk about The Other Woman, which I love this movie. It's definitely more of a feel-good movie. I love the women's friendship together. We just mentioned this last time, too, about Cameron Diaz and how much we miss her. And I just wanted to bring forth something that I think that she is great in and that I miss her. And this is one of the last movies that she did, 2014. She's been gone for that long, guys.
God damn, that's a tragedy.
Devastating. Devastating.
It is devastating.
And then when I watch this movie again, I'm like, this is so frustrating that she's not around.
Yeah. And we literally were like, do you think that she's going to come back when her kid gets a little older? And we're like, we hope so. But like, I just love her. And like, I just love her. Like, she's so fantastic. And this movie is perfect. Like, she's like the older woman, but she's still kind of funny and she's still got her quirkiness to her. I love Leslie Mann in this. I know she can be, there's rumors about her not being a very nice person, like in real life, but she's so funny in this. Like, I think it took it back like to like 40-year-old virgin Leslie, where she's so physical with her comedy in this. Like, she's just so crazy in this movie. I love her. Kate Upton, gorgeous face. Not quite sure what else she brings to this. But the main star for me is Taylor Kinney.
I have a huge
admiration for him. I'm an avid watcher of Chicago Fire every week. I've watched him ever since he was on Vampire Diaries. I love him. And he looks his finest in this movie.
I never understood what you saw in him or, for that matter, what Lady Gaga saw in him. And then I saw this movie, and he came out in those white pants and that blue sweater, and I was like, so where can I buy my ticket for the Taylor Kinney train?
And so I asked again, should you get your eyes checked?
Hey, I see it now.
Wow. Wow. I didn't realize that he was the one that was with Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Never made that connection. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. He's the one that gave her the heart diamond ring.
Interesting.
They were engaged. Hmm. Engaged.
And this was after Stars Born, right?
No, before. Oh. They broke up right way before that.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. But I think they were together during this movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll go next because maybe Natalie will bookend things again. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, we haven't talked about your movie yet. So, you know, just, I'll wait. I can't say anything about that. Never mind.
Here's what I will say.
I have a question. Have you ever seen this before?
I'm going to get to that.
So,
okay.
when you first gave me this title, for some reason, I looked up the movie and I was like, why the fuck are you making me watch a feel-good movie about Natalie Portman cheating on somebody and going through a divorce? And I was like, that is not a feel-good movie, Lena. I know that you've been a little down lately, but I don't think that's a good movie for this topic.
I'm just kidding.
So then I realized that it was the Cameron Diaz movie, and I realized that I had seen it before, and I actually realized that I had forgotten about it, and more importantly, I forgot how much I loved it. Because, so here's what I'll say. Obviously, Cameron Diaz, I love her. I miss her. My pick this week, ironically enough, before I picked the one I did, was going to be The Sweetest Thing, because that is probably my all-time favorite Cameron Diaz movie, and it's funny, and it's definitely a feel-good movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. I also really love Leslie Mann, and I always forget about her until I see her in something, and then I'm like, God damn, I love her. Like, she's not really someone that's top of mind very often, but when I reflect on it, she's been in some of my favorite movies. I don't know if you guys have seen This Is 40 with her and Paul Rudd, but it is legitimately, again, one of my favorite movies. It's fucking hilarious. If you are in your mid to late 30s, early 40s, you will relate to so many things in this movie. I don't even have kids, but I could relate to so much of what went on in that film. I think New York is gorgeous in this film. I think that scene when Cameron shows up and Leslie Mann's character answers the door and she's the wife, and oh my God, like, that moment is just so fucking awkward and uncomfortable. And then Cameron manages to like knock the vase over and makes it even more uncomfortable. And like, and then the scene when Leslie Mann goes into Cameron's office and has like her nervous breakdown panic attack, like,
can you just crack? Can this window crack? Does it? I just need some air. It's hot in here.
I told her, I was like, this is exactly how I feel in hotel rooms when the windows don't even open a little bit.
But like, just the idea that a woman would stalk and try to befriend the woman who her husband was having an affair with, like, is just so hilarious, like, at its surface. And the fact that they were able to kind of take this and make an entire film out of this concept was just, and it's such a good movie. And the breaking news that I have is that I actually bought this movie after I watched it, because I was like, yay! I fucking love this movie so much, I want to own it. So yeah, it's definitely a good movie. Natalie, I was just trying to throw you off, Lena.
I was like, no,
because it seems like the movie you would like.
Oh, yeah. So your movie, Natalie, didn't check any of my boxes. This one literally checks all my boxes.
So I love this movie. I really do. Again, I have a deep appreciation and for a movie that introduced me to Taylor Kinney now. And so
you're welcome.
Thank you. And the jewelry and wardrobe in this movie that Cameron wore, I think every time I watch this movie, I'm like, silk tuxedo blouse. I'm constantly Googling like where I could buy this stuff. I know Lena and I have searched for like this two-layered gold necklace that Cameron has worn, and we have found different versions of it online. So it's just, there's a lot of details in it that I absolutely love. On top of Nikolai, I think is absolutely sexy and great in this movie and super fun and just plays the douchebag really well. Like, he doesn't, you know, pull any punches with the fact that it's like, you're going to be a very unlikable character in this movie. And I like that he just kind of really went for it anyways. I like Leslie Mann, but I do feel like parts of her performance were like too over the top for me that make it a little bit unenjoyable at times, but it doesn't totally pull me out of the movie, but it just, I don't really like the over theatrical reactions to things. And then I understand the idea of Kate Upton's character. She just is a terrible actress and is kind of like a wasted part that like could have gone to somebody that actually is a good actress.
Who would you like to have seen in that role?
Yeah,
I don't, maybe Blake Lively or somebody that's like, younger, hotter version that also can act more than Kate Upton can.
Do you think that originally that character had more dialogue and had more just part of that group, or do you think that that was how that part is and Kate got that because it's not a lot of stuff? Or do you think if they would have gotten Blake Lively or somebody else, that that part would have been bigger? Because I just, the part's not very big. She doesn't even show up for halfway through the movie.
Yeah, but she's on the poster, you know, and that's part of, like, I think they're advertising to, like, bring your boyfriend to this because you'll get to see Kate Upton bouncing around in a bikini. Yeah. And, you know, I think that that was, they knew she was kind of like the hot supermodel at the time. And that's why they put her in it. And that was all that they needed her to do. I think if somebody of, you know, more acting caliber was in it, they probably maybe would have suggested more lines. Maybe there were more lines and a lot of it was cut out because she was fucking terrible. Like, that's
but
possible.
Don't you think that it was not perfect, but don't you think it was like a good fit? Because, you know, you had Cameron, who's like the smart lawyer lady, and then you have Leslie, who's just the homemaker and she stays at home, and then you kind of need that young sex pot that's kind of like a dum-dum and doesn't really partake in anything.
That's fine. I don't care if, like, she doesn't need to also be a lawyer. That's fine for it to be somebody that isn't super witty, but I think somebody that still is a better actor. Kate Upton was just uncomfortable most of the time, and I felt uncomfortable, you know? So
I don't disagree with you, Natalie. It would have been interesting. I thought, because I was actually thinking about this when I watched it, and I was thinking, like, what if there was an actor in that role, whether it was Kate Upton, perhaps. I don't know if she could have done this, but, like, really gone, like, all the way with this role. Like, it just felt like she was holding something back. Yeah. And maybe there were, to your point, like, funnier lines of dialogue that were written that they had to cut or whatever. But I would have liked to see somebody be, like, really ditzy and really kind of stupid and, like, kind of like the polar opposite of these other two really intelligent women. Give me something different. Like, I didn't feel like she really brought anything special to the role.
No,
and
she
so
didn't. Yeah, no, I agree.
She was a cardboard cutout of a woman. You know, even in Just Go With It, what's that girl's name? Brooke something?
Yeah. Oh, is it Brooke? She's married to it's not Brooke.
She's married to Andy Roddick.
Roddick. I don't remember. Oh, like, Brooklyn Decker.
Brooklyn Decker, yeah. So it's like, even her, I think she would have been a better fit for it too, where it's like, okay, well, then you still have, like, the physical look that you're going for. And I think she's just generally a better actress. Like, Kate isn't an actress. She's a model, you know, and it just, you see it.
I am looking at the poster right now, though, and to your point, she does look great on the poster. And so maybe that was the allure.
Because she's a model. And that's,
well,
you know.
Well, Brooklyn Decker is a model.
I know, but I think Brooklyn has been acting a lot more than Kate has.
So was this Cameron's last movie? Do we know?
This was her third to last movie, I think.
She had three movies that came out in 2014, and this was one of them.
It was this, Sex Tape, and Annie. So Annie was her last movie.
Oh,
yeah.
God, what a way to go out.
I know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, what are your scores, ladies? Lena?
I mean, obviously, this is a one for me. This movie I can watch over and over and over again. I love it. I think it's so, it's definitely a feel-good movie. It definitely gives me a hug. I love the girls together. It's just like, it's just a perfect, like, harmony of, like, hugs.
Perfect harmony of hugs. Love it. Natalie?
It's a two for me. I do love it. I enjoy it so much. And I think one thing I forgot to talk about, like, Nicki Minaj, like, again, they were doing that as, like, who's the hot thing that's going to bring in some audiences.
But I think she's so funny.
But surprisingly, she turned out a performance. It is clunky at times, but still a different voice and a different, you know, like, she brings something fun to it, whereas, like, Kate did not. So that was, but that, anyways. So it's a two.
Okay.
By the way, this movie only has a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes. I want to know what's wrong with people. Like, what is wrong with people? Can't appreciate
just,
a good,
like,
feel
also,
good.
Just enjoy it. Relax, people. What
I know.
Are you expecting?
I mean, yes, it can fall into, like, a cheesy, girly movie. I get that. But it's also, like, super fun and, like, really funny.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I'm with you, Lena. I'm a one. I was so pleasantly surprised to watch this again. I don't remember when I saw this last, probably close to when it came out. And it was just such a treat to like revisit this whole story and just these characters and obviously Cameron. And yeah, it was really, really enjoyable experience. All right. Last but not least. So this is actually the movie that inspired this episode. I was watching this movie and I thought, I want to talk about this movie on the podcast, and I would love to do like a whole episode around movies that make us feel the way that this movie makes me personally feel. So the movie is Home Again. By the way, we did not say where you can stream.
The Other Woman is on Hulu.
Is it? Ooh. It's on, I thought it was on FX. I think it's FX. Maybe it's on Hulu.
But FX is on Hulu.
Not all the movies though, just the TV shows.
Oh. I mean, I own it, so I watched it from there. But when I looked it up, it said Hulu. So hopefully it's still on subscription.
Yeah, I have FX now, too, so you might want to check that out. But I think it's also on sale on iTunes. And like I said, I think we can all agree that it's worth
it. You can stream it on FX now and DirecTV.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah.
All right, so Home Again. Again, Reese Witherspoon. She's right up there with Cameron for me. I don't think I've ever not liked anything she's done.
Have they been in something together?
Oh, I don't know, but that would be a dream. I wish Cameron would come back to TV and do something with Reese, because Reese like lives in TV now, apparently, which I'm fine with. But yeah, anyway. Interesting piece of trivia. So for some reason, I had thought all along that this film was directed by Nancy Meyers, but do you know who it was directed by and produced by?
Yeah, we definitely know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you not know? Did you not? That was a big deal.
That it was her daughter?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember. No, for some reason, I thought it was Nancy Meyers. It's got the aesthetic of one of her films.
Yeah. I mean, she made a daughter in like somebody that's going to like create more movies that are going to extend years past Nancy's life, which is great. It's, you know, it's like those movies are never going to stop, hopefully, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, love Reese Witherspoon. I think in this particular movie, I think that, again, aesthetically, like this is a film that like just, it's so pretty to look at. Every single frame, it's shot in LA, and so you got the sunshine and just, I don't know, like it's gorgeous people. It's just, it's such a great, just across the board, like production value, acting, I love it. Oh, God, how did I forget this note? Pico Alexander.
Oh, my God. Let's just stop for a minute, because everyone should just bow down to the beauty of this man. Like, where the hell did he come from?
I don't know, but if you're listening to this, and where did he go is the more important question. But if you're listening to this and you just pull over right now and just Google him, because I promise you, you won't regret it. Man or woman, you're going to appreciate it.
Googling him doesn't really do justice seeing his charisma on screen.
Yeah.
Like his swag. I can't count
how many times I've Googled him. It does not do it justice. You need to watch the movie.
That's fair.
And I will say at work, every single time somebody brings up like, oh, we're, you know, there's this part, who should we cast, young man, I'm like, Pico Alexander. Even if I don't have any other details, they're like, okay, can you pump the brakes on Pico Alexander? And I'm like, I will not.
Yeah, it's weird that he hasn't been in more. I feel like we should be seeing him everywhere, and I don't see him anywhere except this movie. So
if I have to change this, I will change it personally.
Listen, I am willing to sign the petition.
And if that's fine, if people don't see what we see, fine. Leave him alone, and I will cast him in a movie at some point, and I will make him a star.
Thank you.
Because I refuse to live in a world where the whole world doesn't understand how special this man is.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree. And there's no sarcasm in that at all. Like, he's legit. No, like, he's a great actor. He's charismatic.
The way he screws in the cabinet. Come on.
Yeah, listen, you've got my vote. You've got my vote. I will sign the petition. But like I said, the cinematography, the sets, just everything about this movie, it had initially slipped under the radar for me, and I think that's what kind of led me to think that it may have been something people missed, because I didn't discover it until years after it came out.
And it was such a pleasant surprise, like start to finish, that I just, I don't know. I feel like this is one of those movies that like every single it's very hard to write a film like this where you have to have like an antagonist, as it were. But every single character in this film is just likable. Like, they're just endearing. Like, even the ex-husband has like a, I don't know, there's something endearing about him.
I don't agree with that point.
Oh, but really?
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I saw it.
Well, I think it's just Michael Sheen. I like him. So, like, whatever he's doing is, like, interesting to me.
I mean, he has such an interesting personal roster of women he's been with. I'm just always so...
He got the big D.
Yeah, he... BDE or real life IRL BD. I don't know what the situation is. Like, it is just shocking to me. And it just, like, so he does pique my curiosity in that sense of, like, what is it about you? But, like, he was still a dick in this movie. And I was like, I didn't like him in this movie, but I think he did a good job doing that.
I still found him endearing. Like, at the end, they kind of give him the redemption where he kind of, like, you know, gives a nod to the guy that beat him up or whatever. I don't know.
I think he's just going to be that kind of dad. That's just how he's going to be. But he still, like, is, like, a loving character. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think this movie's perfect. I have two exceptions to that. There's two flaws that I have that kind of bother me, and they continue to bother me. So first of all, I fucking wish it was that easy to meet the love of your life in a fucking bar while the bartender is flirting with them. Okay, like, if that is a reality, sign me the fuck up.
And where is that bar? What bar do you go to that you're just like casually allowed to sit at some booth and like have shots brought to you? Like, oh, I don't know where those bars are. It's always fucking crowded. Everyone,
especially in LA,
can get a drink.
Totally. And then my other issue with this only issue with the writing in this film is the fact that when Reese tells off the woman that she's like doing the interior decorating for in the restaurant, that whole scene, the build up to that was so much, like, you hated that woman so much. And the way that Reese tells her off just fell flat for me. I was like, you need to, like, this woman should be mortified by the way she treated you. And, like, she was just like, meh, sorry. Like, I don't know. I was so engaged in the story of, like, Reese kind of, like, coddling to everything this woman was asking her to do. And then when the payoff finally happens, it just felt very, like, anticlimactic to me.
But at the same time, people like that aren't affected by the, you know, people that are their help. So that's not going to change her attitude. She's not going to be nicer to the next person. She's a cog in the wheel. So
I totally get that. But I wanted Reese's character to be more emphatic about and passionate, like less drunk, more like, this is a sobering moment for me. It's going to pull me out of it. Like, yes, I'm wasted, yeah, but I'm going to tell this bitch off. Like, I wanted more of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a practice run for her standing up for herself for her ex-husband. That was the moment she needed to, you know, be sober and to stand up for herself and say that she wants a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, she legally doesn't want to be married to him anymore. And he's like, I know what divorce means.
So anyway, this is next to Like a Boss. This is the movie that I've had on in the background a lot lately, because like I said, it just, I don't know, it brings like sunshine and happiness to my life.
I will say, I think that this is a nearly perfect movie. Every detail about it is so well executed. The locations, the costumes, jewelry, the fucking linens on the bed,
the house,
what they're making.
Oh, the house. Like, I love the house.
The margaritas. And the little daughters,
they were so cute.
Everything about it is fantastic.
Candace
was great.
Can we just say, hold on, we got to pause right there. Candace Bergen is a national fucking treasure. I think we just need to put that on record, because I love that woman.
She's so good, yeah.
There was a period of time in recent years where she didn't look so great. I think she was trying to de-age her face.
Sex in the City, the first Sex in the City movie. Yeah. I'll never forget that scene in the Vogue office where I'm just like, oh my God.
Like, what happened to you? Because it's like she seemed to be aging gracefully and then all of a sudden something happened.
Yeah.
And so it seems like hopefully she kind of pumped the brakes on it because it felt like she just was like a very good looking older normal woman, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like
I think the other thing too about this movie is, well, not the other thing, but something I learned about this movie, and only because I'm a dumb, but like I was always like, you know, that guy like from Fault in Our Stars, he's in this, and then like the guy from Jumanji, like I really think that they just like look alike, and I was very like, oh, they should like play in a movie that they're brothers. Well, they're fucking brothers in real life, and I'm a dumb, and I did not pay attention to their last name. And I just think both of them are so freaking cute. I love both of them, and I'm glad that they're both acting. I have to say that about the Wolf brothers.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Yeah, this is definitely a film that was perfectly cast. I can't think of anyone else that should have like played any of these roles, or even, I don't know, like I don't feel like a lot of the actors in this film, the guys, were necessarily like known people, and I still felt that it was perfectly cast. Like there's nobody that I would substitute in any of those roles.
No, same. I definitely wouldn't. And even the producer, I can't think of his name right now, Reed Scott, he was so great. He was super fun. And I just feel like everybody looked their best in this movie. Like, I just feel like it just was so well done.
Slick and glossy.
This is definitely the definition of slick and glossy. I will say one thing that is slightly disappointing, which I understand when you're dealing with like a family sort of environment, there are certain limitations to things, but it's like there's zero diversity in this movie. Like it is all white people and all straight white people. And so like there's just no varying she from
like
that.
Like her friend that she like did yoga with or whatever could have been diverse.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, one thing that it's like when you look back, you're like, oh, you didn't decide to take any choices that showed us a more representative world. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned the slick and glossy because I was watching a film that I think we're going to talk about on an upcoming episode, and I'm not going to reveal it yet, but it was so slick and so glossy that I was even having a problem with it. Like I was like, this is overkill on my aesthetic. Like I can't.
Oh my
goodness.
I cannot wait to hear what this is.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed.
No, God.
Was it Cats?
I still have not brought myself to watch, but I'm waiting for you guys to watch that.
I know, but
it's available now.
But I want us to all be together. That's the magic of watching that show and recording an episode is doing edibles and being together and doing it live.
Yeah, I agree.
Doing it separately, I feel like we're going to lose the juju that could be created.
I don't disagree with you, but depending on how much longer this goes for, we may have to break tradition and
I know.
Take an edible and just see where it goes. All right, so let's score this one. I don't think I need to do an introduction on this. I'm at a 1. It's one of my favorite movies. I love it.
I'm with you. I'm at a 1. I love this movie. I think it's pretty much perfect, and I want to watch it again right now.
I'm definitely at a 1. I love this movie so much, and I think Pico just really, you know, nails in that 1. That's the position.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Same.
My God.
Him and Reese.
I don't even care about Reese.
I watched this movie for Pico. I'm staying home for Pico.
For sure. And what I will say about this movie is it is not available on any streaming platforms at the moment. I have seen it on certain platforms in the past. But right now, I will tell you that it is on sale for $4.99 on iTunes. So if you snatch this up at five bucks, I feel like we should be getting a commission on this. But you need to watch this movie, and it's definitely worth $5 to add it to your collection.
Oh, for sure.
Actually, I take that back. I think you can stream it on Amazon Prime. Just kidding.
Oh, okay. It's been the $5, so you're going to want to watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. You'll want to watch it again. It's definitely a movie that you can, like, throw on and be like, oh, my God, is it? Have you seen this movie? And then people will be like, no. And then they'll be like, thank you for showing me this movie.
Yes, and you're welcome for us introducing it to you, because it's going to change your life. All right, final segment, stream or quarantine. Let's start with Tag. I'll go first.
You better fucking say stream or I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to come over there on my bike and tag you.
She's going to take that fucking
right? Drink. She's like, give me that martini back. For you, Natalie, I'm making an exception to my general rule, and I am saying, because what the fuck else are you going to do? Just fucking stream it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's. I think most people are probably going to like this movie. Like, this is me acknowledging that I can have strange taste at times. And my taste doesn't always align with kind of like the mainstream. And so in this instance, I think that I'm probably the exception and you should probably give it a chance.
Okay. Good, 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 good vote.
I'm at a stream, obviously. I think it's a really fun movie. And if you're bored and want some entertainment, Tag is where it's at.
Stream.
Shocker. I think honestly I'm stream across the board this week. I don't know if we need to go in depth, but
I don't know if we need to go individual. I think it's stream all across too.
Yeah.
Stream across the board.
Stream. Yeah.
Extreme stream.
Yeah. Yep. And feel good while you're doing it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just do it all.
All right, so we've got some more fun episodes coming your way. I don't think we should give away the topics just yet. But I think we've pretty much got the next two episodes plotted out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to be a listener request, shall we say? Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all we're going to say about it. So stay tuned in the coming weeks. In the meantime, stay well. And keep your social distance.
Wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers!
Bye!